We've been singing there about worshipping God with all our strength and seeking His face with all our strength. And I wonder how much strength we actually have, because the message tonight is about exercising and strengthening our muscles. It's entitled "Use It or Lose It," exercising our spiritual muscle. If you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 4, it reads, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received for thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received for thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach." In verse 8, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things." And that reads in the New Living Translation, "Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come." And that word exercise is the Greek word, which is gymnasia. So no guesses where the word for gym or gymnasium comes from. It comes from this word that means to exercise. And as I said, we're going to consider a little bit tonight about exercising our spirits, and we're going to try, I'm going to try and motivate us all tonight. I don't know if you remember years ago, there was someone on the telly called Mr. Motivator. Please do not look at me and see me and like that. I am going to try and motivate us tonight. I believe God is really wanting to encourage us in our walks with Him, because we have a choice in our Christian walk, where we can choose to sit on our spiritual bottoms and do nothing and be lazy, apathetic, pretty bone idle Christians. Or we can live really active lives for Him, where we are full on for Him, being used by Him for His glory. And, you know, we can come to church every week, but that isn't going to do as much good if all we're doing is sitting, taking in the word, getting fatter and fatter on the word and never exercising the word of God. It's a bit like saying, well, I go to the gym, I was going to say 7 days a week, but you can't go to the gym 7 days a week in Stornoway. So going to the gym 6 days a week. You can say, I go to the gym 6 days a week, but if all you're doing when you're going to the gym is sitting in the cafe drinking coffee, then you're not really going to achieve very much in the gym. And it's the same in church. We have to get physically active, or we have to use it, or we're going to lose it. You know, our muscles, speaking a wee bit about muscle mass, and a bit of a depressing thought. I mean, how old are you, young man?
16.
You're okay, because up until about your 20s, your muscle mass is fine, but starting around your 20s, you start to lose muscle mass. And by the time you get to your 40s or your 50s, you're really starting to speed up with muscle loss. And by the time you get to your 60s, sorry guys, or your 70s, it's really accelerating this process of loss of muscle mass. But the good news is that you can reverse, you can halt and reverse the progress of this loss of muscle mass. And the way that we do that is through exercise. And of course, if we never use our muscles at all, you know, that we might start to use them less as we get older, because when we're young, we can be much more active. But if we stop using them at all, and that can happen sometimes if somebody is injured or if somebody's very unwell and they take to their beds and they can't move, then their muscles will start to, what's known as atrophy. And when there's not been use, they will atrophy. And when you look at the symptoms of muscle atrophy, it's very, very interesting if you apply it in a spiritual context, because certain things happen when our muscles atrophy. And if you imagine, this is from a condition of doing nothing, okay? This is when our muscles are not being used at all. This is what starts to happen. And if we are not using our spirit and the giftings that God has given us and walking in things of the spirit, certain things will start to happen. The first one is, and these are medical definitions, the symptoms of muscle atrophy. The first one is that we will have problems in maintaining our balance as well as walking. Okay, so when we stop exercising our spirits and walking in the things of God and using what God has given us, we will have problems maintaining our balance. And we can start to lose our balance in spiritual things and go off perhaps into, as I was talking this morning about legalism or license, but we can start to become unclear in the things of God and lose our balance and go off skew in the wrong direction, and it can affect our walking, it can affect our ability to have balance even when we are walking. The next symptom that can develop is weakness or numbness. So when we're not fully using our spirit, then we can start to become very weak. And we all know that. You can start to become weak in the things of God and weak in our fight against the enemy, and we can become numb. We can start to become numb to the things of God, and even when the voice of God comes clearly to us, we can start to become numb to it. So perhaps he might come to us with a word of correction, and we can start to become numb to that and stop hearing his words coming to correct and convict us because our spiritual muscles have become so atrophied. And then we can develop speech problems and memory loss. Our speech can start to have problems. We can start to talk wrong. We stop speaking in line with the word of God, and we can start to speak wrong things over our lives. And we have memory loss. We forget. We can forget the goodness of God. We can forget all his benefits. And we can start to focus in on wrong things and speak wrong things, because our spiritual muscles are not being used. And then we can have a loss of coordination, another symptom of muscle atrophy. A loss of coordination where we're not quite able to use our hands or our feet in the way that God intended. We can't move things properly. We can't hold onto things properly. And that can develop into a gradual loss of movement where we aren't able to move very well, and we can become easily fatigued. We become very tired, and we can start to feel like we just don't have any fight or any life in us anymore. And then this can develop into danger signs. If we've been bad enough, it could get even worse, muscle atrophy, and it can even become life-threatening. There can be changes in our perception and a sudden loss of consciousness. Changes in perception. We can start to perceive things wrongly. We can start to take things the wrong way. Somebody comes to us to speak to us in love, and we can hear it completely wrong and take things all wrong and take the word of God wrong. Our perceptions become all off, and we can lose consciousness. What happens when you lose consciousness? You fall asleep, you become dead to everything going on around you. And then slurring of speech, once again, speech is affected. And then we can have eye pain or blurred sight or even a sudden loss of vision. So our sight becomes affected and we can lose vision. And the word tells us that my people perish for lack of vision. So it's a very dangerous thing to lose our vision, but when we become in that apathetic, atrophied state, then we can lose the vision that God has given us and go into this state of unconsciousness, and then even into full paralysis, where we can no longer move at all. And remember, it's life-threatening. Okay? Muscle atrophy is quite a serious thing. That's why when people are bedridden, the physiotherapists are all coming in. And I know it's always us. They're coming in and working with people's muscles to try and keep the muscles active so that muscle atrophy doesn't set in. And how is it treated? Well, it's treated by two things. It's treated by exercise, and it's treated by nutrition. So we're going to get in the physiotherapists, and we're going to get in the dietitians, and we're going to work with a person who is bedridden, who is injured, who is affected in their spirit, and start to build them up by exercise and nutrition. And it's very important, of course, to exercise and to eat well. Now, anyone that knows me knows well, I don't know how well people know this, but I'm going to make a confession tonight, okay? I would honestly never exercise again for the rest of my life and really not mind it. When I have done a hard day's work or done my housework, I just want to sit on a couch. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I really don't want to go for a walk. I really don't want to go out and do stuff. And I really, really have to push myself to do that. And 2 or 3 years ago, I finally discovered all my life I really wanted to be that type of person who, I know it's not right to be addicted to anything, but you know what I mean by that person, the type of person who's addicted to exercise. They love exercise so much, they can't wait to get out and exercise. I've always wanted to be that type of person, and it's never ever happened for me, but, and it still hasn't. But I finally found two forms of exercise that I actually really enjoy doing. Now, don't laugh when the first one is ballet, okay? I used to do ballet when I was a little girl, please don't laugh. And I went back to, James is laughing, I went back to do adult ballet, and I really love doing ballet. So there's a form of exercise I really enjoy. When I'm doing it, I don't actually feel that much as if I'm exercising, but it's on a Friday at 5 o'clock at the end of the week. You know, my natural inclination would be just to go home and sit down because I'm tired. But once I get there and I break through and I start to do it, I love it. I really, really enjoy it. And the other form of exercise that I find that I really like is cycling. I actually really enjoy cycling. And I'm even getting crazier because I have these crazy friends. And these crazy friends encourage me. And this is why we need, I'm not going to say crazy Christian friends, good Christian friends who really encourage us, because these crazy friends of mine go out cycling at 6 in the morning. And they've even encouraged me lately to get up out of my bed and go cycling at 6 in the morning, which for me, I can assure you, is radical, because this is not my natural inclination at all. My natural inclination is to lie in my bed and the alarm goes off and I hit snooze 3-4 times before I actually get up. That's what I would do naturally. But there are forms of exercise that I have discovered that I really enjoy, and I'm going to talk a wee bit about some of that as we go through tonight, because I believe God has an exercise plan for each and every one of us. You know, God is our personal trainer, and He knows exactly what we all need. There are areas in all our lives where some of us will be weaker in one area than in another, some of us will be stronger. So just like any good personal trainer, He's going to get with us, He's going to assess our fitness, He's going to test our body fat mass and all these things, and spiritually of course, and He's going to start to work out the best training plan for us to get spiritually fit. And in Jude chapter 20, we are told to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. We're going to start exercising our faith and getting spiritually strong. And you know, when I started cycling, I started going around the Crete. And I'm quite embarrassed to say this, but the first time I went out on my bike around the Crete, I had to get off 4 times to push my bike up what I considered at that time to be hills. But they're actually just gentle slopes, really, when you look at them. Apart from the Creed Mice, which is actually quite a hard one to get up because the grip is quite hard up next to. But I had to get off four times to push my bike up hills. And when we start exercising, it can be very painful. The first time I did ballet after going back to it from being a child, I'd forgotten all these muscles that we have in our legs that we don't know exist until we start to exercise them. And when I got up on the Saturday morning, I honestly could hardly move. And it took me 4 days for my muscles to stop hurting. That was how bad it was. It's really, really painful when you first start to exercise. But of course, the more you start to do it, the more you start to work them, then they start to become strong and they stop hurting so much. Okay, so we start to build ourselves up. And as we build ourselves up, we can go further than we ever imagined possible. The first time when I started out on the bike, we were training for the Scaladale Cycle, the Hebridean Cycle Challenge, and it's just over 20 miles, and at the time I just thought, 20 miles, there's no way I'll ever cycle 20 miles. And now after being out there on my bike, I do 20 miles most Saturdays, no bother, because that's what happens when you start to exercise. You start to build up your muscle and go further, get stronger, and achieve more than you ever dreamt possible. But the thing is with exercise, of course, that if you want to keep getting stronger, you have to keep pushing yourself all the time, because if you keep doing the same thing over and over, your muscles become used to it. And it's the same in the spiritual realm. If we want to get stronger, then we have to keep pushing ourselves. God is going to keep encouraging us to go that bit further, so we get that bit stronger, that bit fitter in our spiritual lives. He's going to keep pushing us. And if we're sitting on our spiritual bottoms, then that's not going to happen. We have to start moving out in the things that he is calling us to do. So, God's exercise plan. First thing we're going to do is what's the first thing you do when you exercise?
Warm up.
Okay? We're going to warm up. And I wonder if any of us have got a bit cold, or even dare I say it, lukewarm about God tonight, because we know, we're told very clearly in Revelation chapter 3 what Jesus thinks about lukewarmness. It's certainly not a desirable condition to be in, so it's important that we warm up. If we're feeling a bit cold tonight, it's time to get hot. It's time to get on fire again for God. And how do we get on fire for God? Well, we need to get closer to him, because he is an all-consuming fire. And anyone who gets close to him is going to catch fire, because fire, it spreads. And as we get close to him, we will warm up and get hot. So we're getting a bit cold, it's important to spend time in God's presence. And how do we get into his presence? We can come into his presence through worship, through praise and worship. We've just been in his presence tonight. In his presence there is fullness of joy. That's the joy of the Lord. It's our strength. We build ourselves up in his presence. That's one way to come to him, is through praise and worship. And then we might come before him in prayer, or in reading of his word, or in fellowshipping with each other. Whatever it takes. I don't know. I know that if I put on Christian music, and there are certain songs I just know are so anointed, and if I put on these songs, I know I am going to come into God's presence. And whatever it is for you that takes you in there, it's so important that we keep ourselves hot by coming into God's presence and staying in his presence. So the first thing we're going to do is warm up. And then, once we've warmed up a little bit, or got hot, because we don't want to be lukewarm, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 11 to 12, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. No, it's not. It's very painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. So we're going to strengthen our hands and our feeble knees. And our hands, of course, speak of blessing or touching or feeling, comforting, carrying, doing warfare. We do all these things with our hands, and we lift up holy hands. We strengthen our hands. So when our hands are hanging low, when we're tired, when we're weary, when we just can't be bothered anymore, that's the time to lift up our holy hands and strengthen our hands before God. And then we're going to strengthen those feeble knees. Sometimes it feels like we just cannot go another step. The walk is so hard. We're so tired. We're so battle weary. But we need to strengthen those feeble knees. And our knees, they speak of standing, of walking, of running, and of prayer, and of worship. And how are we going to do this? Well, Hebrews chapter 12 back at the start says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. We're going to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we're going to run the race. We're going to run that race, pressing towards the goal, or the prize of the mark, it tells us in Philippians chapter 3. We're going to press towards that goal. Now, we're coming up to the Olympics. Some of you may be very excited about that. Personally, I think, oh, 4 weeks, is it? Of constant Olympics on the telly. But some people love it. But one thing's for sure, these Olympic athletes have spent years training for their moment in the Olympics. They go through so much sacrifice and discipline and such a harsh training regime to get themselves ready for the Olympics. And you only have to look at, I'm a little bit of an Andy Murray fan, and I don't know if anyone's ever read Andy Murray's training regime, what he actually puts himself through. But it's incredible, the discipline and the self-sacrifice. And you want to be the best in the world, and he's only the second best at the moment, but even to be the second best in the world, you have to put yourself through some amount of hard work and training. And it's the same spiritually. If we want to be the best that we can be for God, then we have to be willing to discipline ourselves and sacrifice some things in order to be all that we can be in him. That takes a lot of self-discipline. Are we willing to do that? You know, Jesus is our personal trainer, and he's asking us to keep our eyes on him, because as long as we keep our eyes on him, we can do it. You know, when I'm doing ballet, in my head, I am Margot Fonteyn. Okay, for those of us who are a little older, the younger ones, Darcy Bustle, okay, but to me, I'm Margot Fonteyn. And I'm keeping my eyes on the ballet teacher, and I'm watching what she's doing, and I'm copying her, and in my head, I am doing it beautifully, okay? I'm better than her in my head, because I'm Margot Fonteyn. But the problem with these dance studios is they have mirrors along the wall, okay? And as long as I keep my eyes on her, I'm doing a good job. The minute I take my eyes off her and catch myself in the mirror, I realize that what I think I'm doing is not actually what I'm doing. My legs aren't quite the way they should be, and my arms aren't quite the way they should be. But as long as my eyes are on her, I'm doing a good job. And it's the same, you know, with us and Jesus. As long as our eyes are on Jesus, we are going to be doing it well. And even when we're getting it wrong, if our eyes are on Him, it's going to be okay. You know, the world is a mirror, and it's good sometimes to look in the mirror. Because if we really are doing it very, very wrong, it's good to know that sometimes and see, because then we can amend it, then we can change it, then we can bring ourselves back into line. But it's important that we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So these Olympians who train really, really hard and have a lot of self-discipline and self-sacrifice. And then there's another bunch of guys or girls who train really, really hard as well. And it's no surprise that the Bible talks about these things. It talks about running the race. And it also talks about fighting the good fight. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we are to fight the good fight. We are, you know, I've never boxed. Apparently that's really, really good exercise, boxing. I don't really like boxing myself, but I do like spiritual warfare, and it's important that we keep fighting the good fight, that we don't allow ourselves to become so tired and so weary or so lazy that we just stop fighting anymore. And we are to put on the armour in Ephesians chapter 6. We are to keep that armour on because we need the right equipment at all times. God has given us the equipment that we need to fight the good fight. Now, if I went to Bali in football boots, okay, then I wouldn't be able to dance very well in football boots, okay? And if I went to play football in Bali shoes, then I'd probably be laughed off the pitch. It's important that we have the right equipment. And when I started cycling, I went out in my jeans and I didn't even wear a helmet. And I used to look at all these, and at that time I used to think, oh, I love these posers and all their bike gear. And man, what on earth are they wearing all that for? Padded shorts and gloves and helmets and certain types of shoes and jackets. And do you know, when you start to take a sport seriously, you realise, and I realise, that there's actually a reason behind everything that they're wearing. There's a reason why you wear padded shorts, because your bottom can get very sore. You cycle very far. There's a reason for wearing gloves, because your gloves are absorbing some of the vibrations. Thank you. The vibrations from the road, because that can affect your hands and your arms. Also, you wear a helmet for protection. You wear glasses. I used to think the glasses were a bit posery, but they're actually sort of beasties and stuff going into your eyes. And there's a reason for everything. There's a reason for everything that sports people and soldiers are wearing. And that's why God gives us very clear instructions on what we should be wearing in order to fight the good fight. We need to have on the spiritual armour at all times. And then we're going to exercise our faces, okay? So we're strengthening our hands and our knees, and we're running, we're pressing towards the mark, we're fighting the good fight, and we're going to do it all with a smile on our face. Now, you may have heard that it takes more muscles to frown than to smile. That is an old wives' tale. Not actually true. Okay, I'm sorry to blow that one out of the water, because I know teachers use that a lot. But when you look at scientific fact, it actually takes more muscles to smile than it does to frown. Nobody knows for sure, but estimated that it takes 12 to smile and 11 to frown. There's not a huge difference, but if we're going to exercise our face at all, then let's exercise it by smiling. You know, we are supposed to be the happiest, most blessed people on the face of this planet. You know, how sad if we're going around looking miserable. What hope are people going to find in us if we're looking miserable? Now, when I'm out on the bike and I'm going up that hill, chances are I am looking miserable. But when I reach the top, And I'm coming down. You know that when you come up Achamoided and you go up onto the Pentland Road, there's a wee bit of a hill up, and then you reach the top, and the views are stunning, and you're downhill, and it's just, oh, smile the whole way. And I'm thinking, it was all worth it. All the effort to get to the top of a hill is all worth it, because then you're starting to go down. And it's the same in our spiritual walk. Sometimes there are such hills for us to climb, but when we get to the top, it's all worth it, because then it's all downhill from there until the next hill. So enjoy the downhill when it comes. And when we're doing it, you see athletes, and the same for soldiers, when they are running the race or whatever they are competing in or whatever they're fighting in, they will talk to themselves. Do you notice that? You see Andy Murray all the time, let's go! He's really pumping himself up, talking to himself. And it's the same with soldiers on the march. They'll be chanting something, they'll sing to themselves, they'll sing to each other, they're encouraging each other, talking to ourselves. And that's what we need to be doing as we're fighting this fight, as we're running this race. We need to be talking to ourselves. But what are we going to be saying? We're going to be speaking the word of God. We're going to be speaking things that encourage ourselves in Him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a good one. I am more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. All things are possible to him who believes, and His grace is sufficient for me. Keep speaking His word. You know, when I'm going up that hill, if anyone remember Dumbo, I can't remember the name of the train in Dumbo, but there's a train and it's going up the hill, and the train is going, I think I can, I know I can. I think, you know, I have done that to myself going up hills. Yeah. I think I can, I know I can. Just push yourself, push yourself, push yourself. The same. Use the word of God to push yourself up that hill, to push yourself on the battlefield. And there's another thing that we can do to encourage ourselves, and that's to pray in tongues. Because it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. And that word edifies literally means builds up. So when we're praying in tongues, we're building ourselves up. So God's exercise plan. What are we going to do? We're going to warm up. We're going to strengthen our hands, strengthen our feeble knees, run the race, press towards the mark, fight the good fight. We're going to keep smiling. We're going to keep encouraging ourselves by speaking the word of God to motivate and encourage us. And then finally, it's really important that we rest. Really important. Thank you, Anne, for praying that tonight, because that's just really encouraging. It's really important that we take time to rest and recover. You know, part of that is about nutrition. And nutrition is important all the time you exercise. It's important that you eat well before you exercise, for that slow release of the proteins and the carbohydrates. But it's also very important that if you're going a very long distance, you need to take little bits to boost you as you're going the journey. And it's the same, you know, in our spiritual walk. If we're going a long distance and we're getting tired, sometimes we need something a little sweet, a little bit of an energy boost to keep us going. And that can be somebody else just encouraging us, just blessing us with the word, whatever it takes to keep us pushing on, to have these people on the side cheering us on, championing us as we carry on. That's why we need each other. You know, it's good to exercise in a group, because we encourage one another. If I try and go out my own, it's I just can't do it. I need other people to motivate me and encourage me to do it. But it's really important that when we're finished, we rest. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And Hebrews tells us to be diligent to enter into the rest of God. Mm. Really important that we rest, because if we don't rest, we're going to burn ourselves out. And it's really important that we do everything that we're doing, when we're marching, when we're racing, when we're running, when we're pressing, whatever it is we're doing it from a position of resting in God's grace. Because if we try to do it in our own strength, we're going to burn out very, very quickly. We have to rest in the grace of God at all times. One of my favourite psalms is Psalm 131. And it reads, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. There isn't a much more satisfied picture that we can imagine than a baby that has just been fed asleep in its mother's arms. That is the picture of complete contentment and rest. And that's why I love that psalm, because that's how God wants us. Well fed and completely content and rested in his arms. And it's important, it is essential that we take the time to come aside and spend that time with him, resting in his arms and doing everything, even when we're going about everything that we're doing, to stay in that position of rest. We rest on his promises and we rest in his grace in everything that we do. So that is the choice that we have tonight. And again, God is motivating us. Are we going to be weak, immature, carnal, obese, getting fat all the time, sitting on the word of God? Are we going to be Christians like that? Or are we going to be Christians who are going to be active, who are going to be using our spiritual muscles, who are going to be using the giftings that God has given us, who are going to be stretching ourselves that little bit further all the time, going that little bit higher, going that little bit deeper, going out of our comfort zone and using these muscles that sometimes we didn't even know we had, using giftings, using God, using us in ways that we never even imagined he could possibly use us. That's what he's calling us to. As Olympian athletes for God, let us run the race, keeping our eyes on our personal trainer, who is Jesus. And as soldiers fighting the good fight of faith, let us march, looking at our commander in chief, who is Jesus. You know, soldiers never question their commander in chief. They just do what they are told. And we need to do what God is telling us to do. And then finally, and through it all, as fully satisfied children, let us rest by his grace in the arms of our Father, looking into his face, just like that little baby, looking into the face of our personal trainer, of our commander-in-chief, of our Father, our Comforter, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen.